I talking about my little Sunday school class in out back. We got a couple there in our Sunday school class, D.A. and Aubrey. Matter of fact, I hope that doesn't bother you. And D.A. and Aubrey didn't come alone. They come with their son. And I'm sitting on the opposite side of that little circle as we're studying the Book of Mormon. And I can see that little son, that boy, is in good hands. I can see that he don't have any anxieties. He don't have any fear. He is resting and cradled in peace and love. I can see his mom and dad looking down at him, and they're watching him. And they got big plans for him. I have no idea what the plans are, but if they're like most parents right here, you want good things for your children. You want your children to grow up strong in the Lord, strong in desire, strong in goodness and goodwill. That's what you want. Well, I'd kind of like to talk about some of those elements there. And what I want to talk about, lest you not understand what I'm saying, is I'm going to be talking about watching and preparing. We've had bad weather. You've all been through it. And at our little house, I live out there in the woods, and I got a little garage, and I got a little carport. And my wife has what I call a magic telephone. And that magic telephone comes on, did last night. Comes on right here, beep, you got trouble, weather's coming your way, look out. Well, that happened, I think, last week. Becky, was it this week or last week? That's sometime recently. We got on her little telephone and it says, tornado's on your way. Ooh. Now, what we have done, because we have been through bad weather this year, been through a whole lot of snow, a whole lot of cold weather. We had our heater on, as a matter of fact, less than 2 weeks ago. But we've had bad weather, and we're looking at it. And we get her telephone, and we're looking at that telephone. My son-in-law, he's a weather guru. We call him up, or he calls us up. Look out, weather's coming. And so we're watching. We're watching. And we're ready. We hope we're ready. And we've got a little routine, which is, if it looks like it's going to come down on you, the tornado, get under the stairs down in the basement. But we are prepared for that. Been thinking about it. We got an antidote. We got a solution. There's something we want to do. We're thinking about doing. If trouble comes, we're watching for it. We're looking at it. And then we're going to act. We're going to do something positive that would maybe save our lives. A bunch of you young parents right here with kids, this last summer, we went swimming at some neighborhood pool. You guys remember it? And we were there, and we had all of our kids. There was probably maybe 20, 30 kids there and their parents. And the kids are swimming. And as the kids are swimming, over there on the side right there is the lifeguard. The lifeguard's sitting in a chair. She's the lifeguard. She's the lifeguard. Sitting talking to her mama. And any one of these kids without this vigilant eye of mom or dad right here, any one of those kids could go down. And I'm sorry, the watchman wasn't watching. Nobody was looking. We didn't see it happen. Another swimming incident is my grandchildren. My grandson, he's in a swimming pool, and he's kind of off by himself there. And nobody's watching but one. My granddaughter, Kira. I'm watching you, little brother. And he started going down. And she jumped in and saved his life. Watching. She's watching. Mom and dad are watching. The pastors, the preachers, the good folks right here, they're watching. And they're watching, and they've got a plan. They're going to do something with what they see. Bible says there in Luke, right here, it says there was in the same country, old Christmas verse, shepherds abiding in the field, doing what? Watching over the sheep at night. Think about that. It's not a big deal. It's not a huge thought right here. But here are these guys. They're in with the sheep. They left home. They have left their pumpkin pie and their ice cream right here. They left home and they're with the sheep. And they're with the sheep. They're watching. Now, from the sheep's perspective, do you think that I hope these guys are doing more than just watching? And those shepherds know that. We're watching the sheep. But I want to guarantee you, if any big bad wolf comes, if anybody comes to molest the sheep right here, we're on duty and we've got a plan. We're going to do something. We're going to come and we're going to save the sheep if we can. And so this watching, it's immaterial. You know, I'm looking at you folks, and you're watching, and you're thinking. But the objective of the Word of God, the objective of the service, the objective of why we're here is that we're not just watching, but there may be something. There may be something right here for what you need to go beyond the watching stage. I've got to do something. I've got to get prepared. That tornado heading our way at our home right here, we're ready. We're getting ready for that. Some challenge, we're getting ready for that. If hard times come in financially, we're getting ready for that. If you got a bad neighbor right here, we're getting ready for that. Or I'm watching to go about doing something good. Let me tell you something I just heard about. You can think about it as I'm talking. Joel Yates had a 10-page letter that we read on the phone. We're watching. As he read it. And what is he talking about? Well, you've got a bunch of brothers and sisters right now. You have them. They're in Africa. And they're starving. They've been rubbed out. Their homes have been rubbed away. Burned up. Their food taken from them. Their utensils to cultivate the ground is gone. Killed their sheep and their cattle. Your brothers and sisters. We're watching. What's the next step? Only God knows. And only God has a personal encounter with you and your heart. As we watch, and then what do we do next? Bible there in 1 Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Now sober, my little way, I didn't look it up, but I think I know what word sober is. Right here, we're not drunk. We're not drunk right here. We're sober. We got all of our faculties. We've got it all. We know what we're looking at. We're looking at it right, and we're thinking, and we're watching. And be vigilant, on guard. Well, that guy on the wall of the fortress, the castle, that guy that's up there on the wall, he's got his eyes open, and he's watching to see if anybody's coming his way. And he's got his sword, and he's got his spear, and he's probably got a megaphone, or he's got some way to project the enemy's coming. Or he says, and it says in the scripture there somewhere, I've read it, well, all is well. All is well. You may be sleeping in your bed right here, and you're a little furtive, and you're a little concerned about what things are happening, and you hear this, all is well. Ooh, is that comforting? I like to hear that, all is well. But there in 1 Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because of why? Your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking to whom he may devour. The devil is looking, and we know that, But what is the question? We know the devil is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Meaning, if you have you have a bunch of wildebeest. If wildebeest is a small little buffalo who lives over in Africa. You got a bunch of wildebeest there, and they're all feeding and they're eating. But among those wildebeest, there is a daddy wildebeest, or there's the vigilant wildebeest. And that wildebeest right here, he's looking around. He's looking to see that. Everybody is enjoying a good meal right here. We got a good pasture. Oh, this is good right here. But there's someone of the wildebeest right here who's looking. And if he sees that lion over there in the bush, he lets them know. And they're going to do something. They're either going to run or they're going to get together and we can take him out. What happens if the herd right here, everybody is eating that nice, tender, green grass? That's when the lion gets you. That's when the lion comes. Well, what we have here in this world, as expressed here in 1 Peter there, is that we've got the devil who is looking for the weakness. He's looking for a moment where your guard is down. He's looking to see, when can I attack? And he's not going to act like he's even interested in you. But he's looking sideways and he's exploring and exploiting the times whereby he's going to jump on you if you're not looking. I've got a suspicion. I can say this because this is where I'm at. I'd say it anyway. A whole lot of people are not looking. A whole lot of people are not even aware that the devil is walking around. I'd like to flip that on the other side. And on that other side is people are watching to watch some good deed. They're wanting to see somebody who is the real deal. They want to see somebody whose faith is outstanding. And he's got that relationship with the Lord. That you can tell it. When you see him, you can tell it right here that he marches by what? Somebody else, by the Lord. He's interested in the opinion of the Lord. When he hears something that may be just a little bit different, and something that is odd and unusual, or something right here that he's got to pray about, he's going to be asking the Lord about it. Lord, help me to know, is this what you're saying? What you want me to think and what you want me to do? 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, is the story of David and Goliath. Now, David, a young guy, and we don't really know how old he is. We suspect he was a teenager. He's a young guy, and he walks around with a little bag of rocks. And David knows when the lion and the bear are around. He's got his sheep. He's a good shepherd. He's got his sheep, and he's watching over them. He's not watching over them, you know, with the idea, if something happens right here, there's nothing I can do. He's got his bag of rocks. And he is ready for that bear, that lion. And it happened. And in the story of the Bible right here, a bear came and he smote him. A lion came and he grabbed him by the beard and he smote him. But he's watching. And so on that eventful day there, When both sides, Israel and the Philistines, were facing each other, and there was Goliath, big old guy, 9 feet tall, some people say maybe 11 or 12 feet tall, huge guy, and he's there. David is watching. David is looking. David is sizing this up, and he's called to attention. He's called to the battle. He's called to enlist. He's called to answer the call. And he's ready. He's just not ready with his rocks right here, but he knows exactly who he's ready for. And he told Goliath, he says, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you have defied. And I'm going to feed your body to the birds." He was ready. There's a scripture here in 1 Peter The second chapter, 25th verse says, "For you, ye were as sheep going astray." Does that sound like your life? I can guarantee you it is your life. It is my life. If you were like sheep going astray, if you weren't in the past, you're going. If you haven't done it, you will go that way. You're a human being. And he says, you were all like sheep gone astray. And what is the Lord? Where is he? Well, the Lord's watching. The Lord is looking at your soul. And he sees the devil skulking about. He sees the intent. Just like Jesus told Peter, he says, the devil wants to sift you as wheat. Peter thought he was okay. Peter thought, we're with the Lord right here. We're walking around. It's been good. We see miracles every day. We see lives change. I mean, we are moved and affected by the voice of the Lord right here. We've got him near here, and it's okay. Peter, be careful. The devil is after you. And so anyway, so he says, "For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." Well, a bishop is an overseer. So is a shepherd. And so he sees us and he saw us and he's looking at us and he's watching at us. And what he's watching for is, what is the barometer and the temperature and the level of your involvement with me? How deep is your spiritual water? How strong are you in the faith? I wanted to do it, but I remembered talking about it. It would be interesting. It wouldn't be interesting, I know what the answer is. If I went out to the world here and we put barriers on River Street, and everybody that came here, they had to go through us to lift the barriers that come through, and you got to answer one question. What's that? How many minutes, how many hours did you spend talking to the Lord today? Everybody on the street right here, I would bet, probably judgmental, probably 90%, 95, 99, we didn't even do it. We didn't acknowledge him once. We didn't say one prayer this morning, and until you brought it up right here, we're not going to say anything as we go to bed tonight. Now, if I could ask that question here, and me, how much time did you spend watching with the Lord? How much time were you involved and engaged with him? As he, right here in this verse right here, he says, they returned unto the bishop and the shepherd of their soul. And so what that means to me as I read that, what comforting to me, strong to me, is that here I am going afar. I'm drifting away. And as I'm drifting away right here, there's somebody watching. And that's God. That's Jesus. And as he's watching for me, his endeavor, his desire is to be your overseer and your shepherd. He wants to be the bishop of your soul. And he wants to do that. I was talking about watching and ready. I was down in Camden, Missouri some years ago, and I blew a muffler and I went to the muffler shop. I had to find out where he was at. I went to the muffler shop. And as I come in the muffler shop, I asked the guy, I said, "Can you fix my muffler?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, can. Bring your car in the garage right here. We'll get right on it." So I did that. So as he's working on my muffler right here, I'm in his office looking around, and he's got pictures all over of his big boy, of his son. And his son's a wrestler, and he's an athlete. All those pictures of his athletic son. And so he got done with the muffler right here, and he came in and he said, "That'll be $35 or whatever he's already been having on. I can't remember." And I says, it appears to me that you like your boy. That is a good boy. Oh, that's a good boy. Well, why? Well, I'll give you a what for. My boy likes to fish, and he's got a fishing buddy, and they like to fish. And just down out of town right here, where they go fishing. And they're going fishing. And they went fishing. And they've been fishing there for most of the day. And all of a sudden, they heard a bunch of crunching of tires on rocks right here, and a whole convoy of high school friends come driving in. And they all drive in, and they pop their bud, and they're smoking their weed, and they're going to have party time. And my boy there with his fishing rod, he looks at it, and in that crowd is his girlfriend. Well, it didn't take long, and the police came and arrested every one of them but the good boy and his buddy. Before they took his girlfriend and put her in a squad car, he says, just a minute. And he comes up to her and he said, I want to tell you something. We've had this talk before. And I told you, if you did that, our little romance is over with. Goodbye, and I hope you have a good life. He was watching. And I wish and I pray for our young peoples and our parents who are teaching our children. They know how to watch. They know how to care. They know how to advise. They know how to live as someone else who's watching, and that's that little guy or that little girl. And they're watching hard. And what does mom and dad do? And what does mom and dad like? Well, what are the influences that mom and dad have? And boy, they are many and they're strong. And they come and they light on his little shoulders. And we've got a job of watching, and we've got a job to back it up. I love one sight in my mind better than most sights. Is that I want you to get caught. I want it to be revealed when your little son or your little daughter comes into your hiding place and he catches you in the act of praying to your God. There's a scripture in Ezekiel, and it's talking about the watchman. I'm paraphrasing. You find that in 33rd Ezekiel. It says, if the watchman who is watching doesn't tell the people that the sword is coming and the people die, who gets blamed? Well, the sword comes off the people, and they're in iniquity, and they're making mistakes right here, and they're going to have to answer that. But hear that in Ezekiel 33, he says, but the man who was watching and he didn't warn, he's held accountable before God. Now, I've stretched that pretty big. Number one right here is the ministry. If they're not declaring to you truthfully without itching ears, if they're not telling you what God has laid on them, telling you what God wants, what the word is, to show you the word. I have that experience all the time. I'm talking with people right here, and they say, well, I don't believe that. Well, this is what it says. Would you please read that? But if when I stretch this story right here, if I don't tell my son, my daughter, my grandchildren, my neighbor, my congregation, if I don't tell them, if I squelch the truth right here, somebody is held accountable, and that would be me or Darren or any other ministry here. Got a job. And the job is that we're watching. But that watching goes both ways. I know that. And the minister's watching, and he has been called by God to be a bishop of your soul, be the overseer, one who's been called to help do that, however you want to choose to think about it. But that watching is also comes back, and the ministry are being watched, as they should be. and the ministry need to be living by the word that they're advocating. And so in this little scenario right here, I can think of the common person. You guys, I'm not saying common right here, the person, the Christian in the pew. What his job is that he has a job to live and to be seen, to be observed, to be watched as a person who believes in the Lord Jesus and has been affected by him. That's what he's looking for. And if I fail to tell somebody, if I'm one of you as I am, if I fail to say, daughter, that dress is too short. Daughter, that boyfriend is no good. Son, you're hanging with that rot gut music right here. I shouldn't say that. You're listening to music right here, and let's study that. Let's think about that music. One of the music, and I heard this years ago right here, some of these kids are listening by a band by called Police, Kill a Cop. With our children at that age right here, that they were listening to, kill him. And what other lyrics are our children hearing? Or what other lyrics are we hearing? Or what things are we hearing or what we're doing right here that our kids are seeing us hear and do? We've got a job to be watching and vigilant that the devil don't get us. But we've got a promise right here that he can't get us if we're watching and we're holding on to his hand and we're praying for mercy, for power, for deliverance. Had a gal, some of you heard this, had a gal right here call me up and says, Randy, she says, I got this terrible habit of smoking. Can you come and pray for me? I said, well, okay. So I went over to her house and I said, now let me understand this right. You want me to pray for you because you're addicted to cigarettes? Yes, I am. I'd like to ask a question first. Well, what is it? Can I have your cigarettes? No! Maybe watching, but she didn't back it up. Didn't back it up with the truth of what needs to be done. When God comes, and he's watching, when God comes and we're watching and we see life and we're making decisions and we see those decisions that we're going to make, those decisions are based upon where our heart is. As a man thinketh, so is he. And if our hearts are with the world, if we're wed with the world, we like their music, we like their ways, we like their places, we like that, all the things that they do themselves right here, we like that. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. But on the other hand, if there is govern in you, that there is this spirit that says, I don't think maybe I should be looking at that. I don't think maybe I should have those thoughts. I don't think maybe, you know, I think maybe I have offended somebody and I need to go address this. Watching, and then you're backing it up with what you're going to do. And you're prepared to do it. Jesus is about to get crucified in this account there, Mark 14. He's about to get crucified, and he's spending his last moments there before death with his disciples. And he goes out there to the Gethsemane, and he starts praying. And the disciples came with him, and especially Peter came with him. And Jesus is pouring out blood from every pore of his body. He's bleeding. I've read about that scientifically. Donnie probably knows about it right here. But there's a phenomenon, and it's happened before, for which people can bleed out the cells of their body. Totally traumatic. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did, the Bible says. And he's praying. What's he praying for? Lord, he said, I'm watching. I'm watching to see what you're doing. Yeah, I know you're watching me. I know that you see the thoughts and intents of my heart. Give me power. those prayers I've sent up, send them back down with power, with comfort. Watch over me as I pass through. And not knowing the extremity, he couldn't have. Not knowing that what is about to happen is going to totally forever change your perspective, Peter. What's Peter doing? He's sleeping. The greatest moment of history. He couldn't watch for Jesus. Couldn't do it. And I probably wouldn't do a thing different either than he did right here, but I pray to God that I'd be watching. And I'd be watching, and I'm prepared, and I'm ready. Helaman, the second chapter and 74th verse. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation. Good old Book of Mormon. Remember this. Did he say it once? Remember. You're building. We're all building. I had it, you know your own history. You know what you're doing, what you're going through. You have built up your house. If you didn't build it from scratch right here, you bought it, and you're in the midst of building it. And in building our life, we're building on the rock that can't move. Can't move. But what's on top of that rock? Well, the Bible there in 1 Corinthians in the third chapter right here is talking about the materials of our lives. And it's talking about gold and silver, precious things. And building on that stuff. And I'm not talking about real gold and real silver. I'm talking about stuff that lasts. There used to be a song by the Carpenters, sang Christian family songs. And it says, this is a house of love. Our house is a house of love. They built it on Jesus, who is love, right? They built their life, and what it is when the neighbors come knocking right here, come on in. Join us right here in his house of love. In the church right here, come on in here, because we're built upon love. We're built upon concern. The concern that we have for one another. Build it upon that. But you can build your house on gold and silver, and those things last. But it talks about wood, hay, and stubble. And if your life and if my life is made out of stubble, that reminds you of a little nursery rhyme or nursery story. The three little pigs. Sound like Tony Grimsick up here. And the three little pigs right here, what? One builder's out, I can't remember the story, straw and hay or something like that. Hay and sticks. And what happened? Well, the big bad wolf comes and he blows it down, as he will. And if your life is built on materialism, we got money in the bank. We are well healed. We got a good job. I've got absolute confidence right here that I'll see this job all the way to the end. Life is set. We've got it made. Until the tornado comes. Until the devil comes. Until the big bad wolf comes and he blows it all away. And people sitting there in the devastation of their life, where their life was no life. They had a life of selfishness, a life of looking after themselves, a life that was built on materialism, and God wasn't in it. And when it all comes down, what do? They shake their fist at God right here. And how could you have done that to me? Because there was nobody that was sounding alarm against the big bad wolf. But there was that pig. And that pig had stone or rock? Blocks. Bricks. Had bricks. And that that old wolf rider came and he huffed and he puffed and he what? Could not blow that house down. That's what we're reading right here. We're talking about the challenge that you will have if you haven't had it, and if you're going to get it, or it may continue on. It is a factor of life that was you can depend on. You're going to have challenges to your faith. What is your foundation? What are you built on? If you build on Chinese paper houses or Japanese paper houses, you build on the sticks. You build on the straw. And one little light of a match right here, and it goes up in flames. Kind of like the little Church of Christ that was burned down. I think this little church was built on a foundation there, and it rose again. Undiminished and, to me, better and stronger and ready to handle the adversities of life. And so it says right here, you must build your foundation. And when the devil shall send his mighty winds, he doesn't say if the devil may send. The devil will send. The devil's coming. If you haven't experienced him, if you haven't had it right here, you will. But on this side, on this left side right here, the devil's coming. But on this right side, so is Jesus. And Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the antidote. Jesus is the one for which we build on that. And we're saying that. And we're believing that. There ought to be, when we have disaster, there ought to be right here, oh boy, that was a terrible disaster right here. I hope you can overcome. I hope things will be better right here. I'm putting my trust in the Lord. And the Lord knows who I am. He's heard my voice. He knows my intent. He sees me as I'm building my little foundation, that I have done my best to try to build with real bricks, with real stones on that foundation. And he knows it, and he knows us. You must build your foundation that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts and the whirlwind, yea, when his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you. It shall have no power over you. It will not ruin you. It will not destroy you. You have got your faith in something that is not in this world. Your perspective is over yonder. You're looking at the Lord. The Lord looking at you. He knows your voice. And it will be well with you. The world doesn't have that hope. The world that doesn't have that kind of foundation, that doesn't have that kind of belief, is a miserable, rotten person. A person that doesn't put their faith in the Lord right here. I give you the steering wheel. I give you my money. I give you my house. I give my life to you. And the Lord says, great. Now we can stay on the right road. And we can get to where we want to go, where I want you to be. But on the other hand, if we're not, if we haven't done that, we are miserable people. When a person without the Lord comes walking in, he comes walking in with a frown. He comes walking in with an attitude. He's coming walking in with an attempt to right here to destroy any smile that's on anybody's face. That's the world. I don't want any part of that. I don't want that. If that's the price and the pay to pay for the favor of the world right here, I don't want it. Because of the rock which you are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation. Now listen to this. This is probably the most important thing you're going to hear today. Which is a sure foundation, a foundation wherein if men build, they cannot fall. Take that to the bank. Put that in your eternal warehouse. Standing on the foundation. We sing that song. You're standing on that foundation right here. That guaranteed by God Almighty. You stand on my rock. You stay with me. And you will fall. And I love that. In an insecure world, everything's coming down. Kids are going haywire. Things that happen. And we tremble just a little bit. But we rest on that rock. We stand on a rock, and we've got the promise of Almighty God, you will not fall. We went to the Michigan reunion 2 years ago, Becky. And up there by Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes by Traverse City, they got a lighthouse. What do you reckon they're doing with that lighthouse? Well, they're looking. And it don't stop. Any ships coming this way? Ooh, he's getting a little close. There's rocks out there, Mr. Captain. Admiral right here, there's rocks out there. You turn it around. No! Oh, he hit the rocks. Well, they're watching. Is that all they got? We got a lighthouse. We can see. Oh, boy, he's coming into the rocks. He's not going to make it. He's gonna fail. He's going to crash right here. All those poor people right here. No, we're ready. They got a train track that goes down to the lake. And this gigantic lifeboat is in on that train track. And it's ready to roll at any moment, at any day. On that also, I never heard of this, never thought, but we saw it. They got a cannon. And with their cannon right here, they've got hundreds of yards of rope. And they take that cannon and they aim it at that ship that's foundering on the rocks, going down. And they aim that cannon, and that cannon shoots this projectile with these ropes all the way over the top of that ship. And then with that, they pull on a chair. And they've got a device, I can try to explain it to you, but it's pretty neat. They've got a device for which they leverage back on that rope, make it tighter than a tightrope rope. And they put a chair on that thing. And they can wheel that chair out there hundreds of yards. And that poor person who's going down right here gets in that chair and they bring him back to safety. They're ready for it. They've done something. They're prepared. Well, there's another lifeboat station out on the coast. And that lifeboat station there been over there for 100 and some years. 24/7 men operate this life-saving station and have saved many a soul. Well, as some of the people that got saved right here, they got involved and they were inspired by you folks been doing this for 24/7 right here. And you saved my life right here. Said, well, here's some money right here and maybe buy some new equipment. So they bought new equipment. Other people come in, want to be involved. The legend of this life-saving station right here said, well, we'd like to have part of that. I said, well, what can we do? So, well, we got old chairs right here. Can you get us some new chairs? They brought in real nice, soft, cushy, velveting chairs. And part of the building was getting old and the seawater coming in there. And said, well, I'll tell you what, let's tear some of that down right here. And let's make it so it's really nice. Oh, man, it was nice. And they got it nice just the way they liked it. And a whole bunch of new people was on board. And they were there. And a ship crashed off on the shore, not too far from them. Well, they went out there. They sent out their brand new lifeboat. And some of the new guys, they went out there. And they brought it, started bringing people back. Saved their lives. These people are half drowned and half dead and murky and mucky and crying their eyes out. And they brought them back, and when they brought them back, they sludged their way on the brand new carpet. They sat on the brand new velveteen chairs. And somebody watching, not with the right view of watching. But we worked hard about getting this place together. And look what these people did. They vomited on our floor. They sat with their seaweed and their muck right here on these velveteen chairs. They have stomped all over this place and they're heaving and probably some contagious disease or something we're going to get from this. I don't know what we're going to do. Well, they had a board meeting. They got a board meeting. It says, we got a problem. Yeah, we know it. What are we going to do? We can't be doing this any longer. We got a nice little club. We've got a nice little hangout. I hang out with my buddies, my friends right here. We come in here, and we've got it just the way we like it. And they've just messed it all up. Tell them somebody else is going to have to find, save their souls, save their lives. Where are we at? A ship did come in. And a ship did crack on the rocks. And there wasn't nobody there. Nobody was watching. Nobody did anything. And people died. And I think and I believe we got our friends over there in Ethiopia. We got our brothers and sisters here. We've got questions and we've got issues and we've got dilemmas and we've got things that we can do. And I believe the Lord is talking to each one of us as watchmen and to see what is to be watched. And if there's nothing that we can see that needs to be fixed right here, hallelujah. God is rich. God's here. Tell it by our singing, by our praying, by our worship together. By the church attendance is packed. Because the Spirit of God is here and addressing the needs of humankind. And addressed my needs. And helped me out. And had the answers that I was seeking for. And nobody knew that they was giving the answers. But God knew because he's watching. And so we've got a job to do. And I believe God Almighty is telling us to rise up and watch. Watch what is happening to America. It will scare the wits out of you. If you know what's happening in America, I'm not going to tell you. Terrible. Absolute. Becoming almost mainstream. Somebody's not watching. Somebody maybe not praying. Somebody is not doing their part. And we're called to attention. We're called to be involved. And God has called you. We're the little Church of Christ, not for just any silly little old reason. But he's called us to be watchmen on the wall. God bless you.